This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Thursday's headlines, and most of Washington today still combing over the president's State of the Union message given on Capitol Hill Wednesday evening. In that speech, the president spent the bulk of his time on the economy, but also made another strong push for his health care package and also talked briefly about national security and some social issues, including immigration reform and his desire to see an end to the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy on gays serving in the military. The president also made a series of pitches for reducing the federal deficit, which he says can go hand in hand with temporary large spending measures designed to stimulate the economy. The president admits there has been an extra $1 trillion in federal spending since he took office, but he says he's also trying to stimulate the economy through targeted tax cuts, which he says have benefited nearly everyone.
We cut taxes for 95% of working families. We cut taxes for small businesses. We cut taxes for first-time home buyers.
The president also defended his overall strategy, a defense he made again on Thursday in Tampa as he hit the road campaigning for his version of economic reform.
Joe and I took office in the middle of this raging storm. We ran for office, the highest office, because we had been hearing stories like this day in, day out for years, even before the financial crisis hit. So we're not going to rest until we've rebuilt an economy in which hard work and responsibility are rewarded and businesses are hiring again and wages are growing again and the middle class can get its legs underneath it again.
In an interview with me, Oklahoma Republican Congressman Tom Cole talked about the president rolling out a second jobs creation bill. Congressman Cole says we need to see the details before we can know what kind of an effect this might have, but he says the fact there's a second jobs bill means the first stimulus bill is a failure.
Well, the first thing I know is it must be proved that the first jobs bill didn't work. We spent $787 billion, really $1 trillion if you figure in the interest rates that we're going to pay on health care. And the president said, do this, and the unemployment rate absolutely won't go above 8%. Well, of course, it's a 10, and if you added in the number of Americans that were underemployed, you would be looking into the teens.
As mentioned before, the president also made a strong push for Congress to finish the job on health care reform. Versions have passed, of course, both the House and Senate, but they're very different, and neither chamber really likes the bill passed by the other. But the president says we're too close now to turn around.
Don't walk away from reform. Not now. Not when we are so close. Let us find a way to come together and finish the job for the American people.
But the GOP says America hates the bill that's currently on the congressional plate, especially if the one that's going to pass is the Senate bill, which would have to be approved by the House. That's the one with all those special kickbacks, like the deal for Ben Nelson in Nebraska and Mary Landrieu in Louisiana. And it's also one that liberals in the House don't like because there's no exemption for union workers on taxing the most extravagant health plans. And then, of course, there's the issue of abortion. Georgia Republican Senator Johnny Isakson spoke with me on Thursday. He says the problem is that Obama's trying to do everything at once on this, and most of his ideas are bad ones. He says piece by piece, this issue should be addressed.
I was surprised that he rededicated himself to trying to pass the comprehensive health care bill, which ran into so much trouble in December, and which is so unpopular around the country. There's no question there's some things that we need to do on health care, but we ought to do them in a step-by-step measured basis rather than a comprehensive approach that really severely damages Medicare, raises taxes, and lessens opportunity in many cases.
For the most part, Democrats have charted their own course on the health care legislation because until very recently, they didn't need any Republican votes to get it done. That, of course, changed last week when the Republicans surprisingly picked up the Massachusetts Senate seat that was vacated by the late Ted Kennedy. So, on Wednesday night, President Obama making a pitch for bipartisanship and an end to the permanent campaign.
What frustrates the American people is a Washington where every day is election day. We can't wage a perpetual campaign where the only goal is to see who can get the most embarrassing headlines about the other side. A belief that if you lose, I win.
The president says it's time for the Democrats and their large majority to get the job done and not head for the hills when things get tough. He also says it's now a responsibility of Republicans to govern since they have the votes to stop the Democrats from achieving their agenda. But on MSNBC today, the number two House Republican, Eric Cantor of Virginia, says it's not about partisanship. Americans just don't like the Obama agenda.
I think the president missed an opportunity to really respond to the American people. I mean, we've seen over the last several months in Virginia, New Jersey, and then Massachusetts last week that the public just doesn't like the agenda that this administration's about.
The president spent, according to many Republicans, precious little time on national security, not even referring to the terror trials of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed or the closure of Guantanamo Bay, and giving basic lip service to the attempted terror attack at Detroit on Christmas Day, and even the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Speaking of the terror trials in New York, a major switch in position by New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who first welcomed the suspected 9/11 mastermind and his cohorts to be put on trial in the Big Apple. Now he says he doesn't want that to happen. Also speaking out is New York Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who says she's okay with all these terrorists headed to civilian court. She just wants to make sure that New York doesn't end up paying for it.
Well, the concern is that if you do have the terror trials in New York City, that it will be an overwhelmingly financial burden to the city. So one of the things I've been advocating for is that if they are located in New York City, we have to be re-compensated. We need to make sure that the cost for the massive security operation that will be required will be paid for by the federal government.
In other political news, four conservative activists are due back in federal court in Louisiana on February 12th. That's because earlier this week they were arrested and charged entering a government building on false premises in the intent to commit a felony. The most famous of the four is James O'Keefe. He, of course, was the undercover journalist behind the Acorn Sting videos in which he posed as a pimp and his female colleague as a prostitute. And on those videos, Acorn employees are clearly seen as trying to assist the supposed pimp and prostitute in dodging federal taxes and even helping to facilitate underage girls being brought into a prostitution ring. A federal judge has put a gag order on this case, but attorneys for the accused say that this is nowhere near as malicious as prosecutors want the public to think. And one final note today, legendary author J.D. Salinger has reportedly died at the age of 91. Died at his home on Wednesday. Salinger, famous, of course, for writing Catcher in the Rye, and almost as famous for being nearly a total recluse for the rest of his life after publishing that book in the 1950s. J.D. Salinger dead at the age of 91. On the interview front today, you can catch my entire discussions with Congressman Cole and Senator Isaacson at worldnetdaily.com or at dateline.radioamerica.org. Also there, you can catch my weekly chat with John Gizzi of Human Events. My conversation with Gary Marks of the Judicial Confirmation Network will be discussing President Obama scolding the Supreme Court for its campaign finance decision right in front of six of those justices on Wednesday night at the State of the Union Address. You'll also hear my conversation with Rita Diller of Stop Planned Parenthood, a project of the American Life League, as she says that new numbers produced by Planned Parenthood show that abstinence-based sex education actually does reduce teen pregnancy, much more so than the so-called comprehensive sex education, which emphasizes contraception. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.